Before we dive into the main theme for the day, I would like to have one moment to acknowledge, to remember the past. And Evelyn Weaver, and she just celebrated 89th birthday. She is the eldest woman in the church and the wisest woman in the church. I think that it is right for us to sing the birthday songs for Evelyn. Ready? Go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Evelyn. Happy birthday to you. Many years more, Evelyn. Since the birth of this church, she was here continuously. And I think that it is important for us to remember each person's journey in this we are making as a church. We have had a congregational survey during the month of January under the theme of remember the past, celebrate the present, and then envisioning the future. Through the congregational survey, and we gather up all the ideas and the stories how people see the church together as a congregation and as an individual person. And at the visioning retreat, we gather up all those, you know, we digest and share, and the good and bad story, and then we come up with we brought the identity, which is the DNA out of the story, which is the mission and vision of the church. Mission tells us who we are. It is identity, who we are. And a vision statement is telling us how we can live up to our identity. So, as we are talking about remembering the past and getting into the celebrate the present, second part of it, and moving into the envisioning the future, and let us remember what we did last week. The mission statement of the church is
to make disciples of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep going after this again and again. If someone asked me who am I, then I said, I'm Sunny. Without thinking, I just say my name. And then when we are coming together as a church, our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, what are you doing there? And then you needed to come out of this mission statement right out of your mouth without thinking. Because it is our name, it is our identity. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Not making a disciples of Sunny, but make a disciples of Jesus Christ. We are gathering around the presence of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is a kind of the central gravity in our congregation, bring all the difference together. So mission of the church is
to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world.
Okay, for the transformation of the world, if there is a purpose, why do we make the disciples of Jesus Christ? For the transformation of the world. Not for the making a disciple's sake, make disciples of Jesus Christ's sake. It is not. There is a great purpose of that. For the transformation of the world. To make some difference. In order to make a disciples of Jesus Christ, we, you and I, needed to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. First. And I set an example how to be the disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. How we're going to make a disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world answered by the vision statement we had. The vision statement is
to be home, welcoming, nurturing, and celebrating.
Celebrating.
God of it. Oh, call it. You know what? Who said that young people are the future of the church? Young people are the present of the church. Do you know that? We do not need to wait for tomorrow for them to be the leader of the church. We experience the Ember Days. The awesome music, musical gift, and the message. Do you hear that? We grown-ups, let us celebrate the moment by remembering the past and envisioning the future. By seeing our young people in our midst, they are not the future of the church. They are the present of the church for the celebration. The vision statement of our church is to be the home, welcoming, nurturing, celebrating God and everyone. Then think about the home. We are here to be the home. The home. Which means that just think about that someone is visiting your home. In the foyer area, what do we need to do? Welcoming, right? The home. Welcoming. And moving this guest to the living room. And then we needed to have nurturing process, right? You provided cookies and coffees. For my case, chocolate, right? Welcoming and nurturing. And then we've been welcomed and nurtured through some good talks, right? And it's nurture each other in the living room area. If we are deepening our relationship a little bit more, we are furthering our relationship, moving into the kitchen area by having meal together. That is a celebration moment. So we eat together, dine together, clean up the house together. That is the ultimate goal we have. Make people move from the foyer area, passing through the living room, being nurtured, and celebrate together. That is our vision. We do not want to have a lot of guests, you know. We would like to have people to celebrate in the living room. And I don't know how many people of you continuously be a visitor in this place. If you wanted to be a visitor forever, you can be it. But you are not going to have a home to this place to be home unless you decide. In order to claim the home, you needed to put yourself in the commitments, in the house. And also, when you claim this house to be your home, work needed to be done. You know what? If you are the house member, you needed to clean up the house together with other people in the house. You needed to cook together, get dirty, and cook together, and washing the dishes together. If you are guests, nobody's going to ask you to clean up the house and clean up the dining table. Nobody's going to tell you to clean up the dishes after meal. The members of the house will do all those things because that's their joy, to create a welcoming space and nurturing people and dining together and celebrate. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's how we are making the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are not Bible thumping up here and pounding Bible at people. This is not the way we are making disciples in here. With the guideline we receive through the scripture, we are welcoming and nurturing and celebrating in God's law. So again, the vision statement is to be the home.
Welcoming, nurturing, celebrating
God and everyone. Okay, I think so. We needed to inject a little bit of a power in here. I wish I brought the chocolate and throw the chocolate, injected the power in here. But I think lunchtime is near, but I think so we still have a power, right? And the vision statement of our church is to be the home, welcoming, think about the foyer area, welcoming, nurturing, celebrating God and everyone. Again, the vision statement of our church is
to be the home, welcoming, nurturing, celebrating God and everyone.
This is going to be a test, all right? And then every Sunday, probably I'm going to go after this one again and again. And then this is our identity. If you have a heart for this community, you need to know the identity of this community and how we are living up to the identity we receive. We take of this, those are the mission and vision statements. We do really do need to know about who we are and how we can live up to that. Personally, my name is Sunny. If someone poke me, That is my mission statement. I am Sunny, right? That is my identity. What does that mean? What does that mean? That answers the how question, right? And now I am here to be to restore the joy of salvation. That is my vision statement. I would like to see the big line of a smile on the face of the people around me in the world. World is beautiful. Genesis chapter 1 clearly said that. God created the whole world beautifully, and God said it's so good. After God created that. But some people are born to be negative, to see the empty cup of instead of half a full of a cup. Jonah and Paul, we read it at those two scriptures today. Both received the mission and vision of God. Do you hear the different voice of God? No, they hear the same voice of God, mission and vision, but their responding is somewhat different. Regardless of Jonah's nagging sound and dragging sound and whining sound, God accomplished his vision and mission through him. That tells us a great hope we have. Sometimes we are whining and complain about the situation. To be honest, that is a kind of a natural human being. This week when I look at the weather and I was so thrilled that it's, oh my God, it's raining. That means the winter is over and no more snowing. I put myself in a spring mode and even I went to the drugstore, get the yellow flower to bring up the some cheery spring spirit in the house. And soon after I bought that, boom, snowing again. And it just, oh my God, how long? How long? What is the point is, after that is, you know, sooner or later you're just going to go away. I'm not here for the weather. I have no control over the weather. I can be whining and whining and beat myself death in and pity, throw up the pity party all the time. I can do that if I needed to. I have a full right to do that. But what good that can be? What benefit am I getting? What benefit other people will be getting? I just decided to let it be so. Lord, you know what I'm preferring. But I know that God, you will control the situation. So I decided to be joyful no matter what. I see the flower right in front of my desk, and then I just wanted to enjoy the beauty of flower. And I just wanted to enjoy the people's life around me. And then my vision is restoring the joy of salvation. Instead of whining and whining and whining, no matter what, God, you're going to do what you are going to do. So I decided to believe in you, and it's just face tomorrow for the hope. Look, no snow today. I am so thrilled. Someday it's going to be going away. Let's put ourselves in a mission mode, not just mission mind. Having a mind, good mind is important, but it's a mission living it is important. What you have in your mind and live through it, that is important. That the attitude, we talked about it in here. Today, clearly, Paul and Jonah received the mission of God. But Paul's attitude, what is it? Positive. So in order to, going to reset this positive attitude toward the mission of God, I would like to ask you to open up your Bible. And we're just going to read at Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24 together. During the Lenten season, we're going to talk about more about the attitude. And we're going to tackle the first sermon of Jesus who preached it up in the mountain. It's based on the Matthew chapter 5 during the Lenten season. I'm encouraging all of you and me to read Matthew chapter 5 continuously so we can get into the right attitude and tuning with God and tuning with ourselves and tuning with our friends. And then today, we are reminding ourselves that having a right attitude is important in here. But no matter what, God will do what God will do. And the mission will be accomplished through us. And then we will be painfully follow it and let God accomplish the mission painfully, or we will allow ourselves to joyfully partake of this mission task before us. Let's read it how Paul responds to his amazing mission. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider myself worth nothing to me if I only may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of Paul clearly has the mission. He can name it the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace. That was his mission and a vision. That is the purpose. Do you know the purpose of your life? If you do, you can get over with all the challenges. You do not need to whining about situation or nagging about the situation. If you clearly know the purpose of your life, to be honest, I do have my purpose of life. Clearly, I know why I am still living on the earth. I clearly do know that why God brought me here. Because my purpose is clear. The mission is clear. Big draw the big line of the smile on the face of the people. This is very easy, but I don't know, some people are having a hard time. You do need an index finger. Show me your index finger. Wiggly, wiggly, wiggly. Put it in the index finger right here. Put it up. This is the easiest way. Draw the line of a big smile. And if you are getting a hard time, if you feel that you just need a hand, just one hand, use this one. Use it. Right? If you get lazy, and then try it. It works. It works. Smile. Smile. Be joyful. Not happen to be happy. Not conditional happiness we are talking about. But it's a joy. The joy of salvation because of the presence of God. I want you to be joyful. That is aware of God. That is aware of God. According to the Corinthians, according to the message Paul received for us, do you want to know the will of God for your life? Be joyful. Be joyful. Connecting this joy ministry, restoring the joy of salvation. It is my mission and vision. If you feel that you needed to have a little bit of a joy injection in your life, come to me. I have lots of chocolate. And Jesus Christ, which is more powerful than chocolate, I can share with you more than you can ask for. I have a lot. Life is too sour if you focus on them. But focus on Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. And no one cannot forsake the joy of salvation in your life, in my life, in our life of congregation together. Joy of salvation. That is the purpose of the communion and church, being church together. Here on the table, we have a church bread and juice in here. I know that many of you are hungry. At least once a month, you would like to be fed by the church. And then here is a church bread and juice. But it is not just for the physical hunger and thirst. It is the reminder of the great food we receive from God through Jesus Christ. I am the bread. I am the bread. I'm the life. Before Jesus died on a cross for us. As an example, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you because I love you so much. I want to be happy. I will take all the burdens and sorrow and resentment in your life with me. And then nail all the sorrows up in the cross with my body. Be joyful. That's what I'm coming for. In the same way that the suffer was over. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Which means you need to be forgiven too, as I'm forgiving you. Remember and do this as often you do. Remember me, how much I love you. So love yourself and love your neighbor as I'm loving you. So let us be in a prayer. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and the bread and juice we have before us, Lord. Inspire us through this communion. Help us to connect with you and connect ourselves and connect our neighbors through this Holy Communion so we can be the true disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world and make a home in our life for the people to welcome and nurture and celebrate wherever we go. Celebrate God, your presence, God the Son's presence, God the Holy Spirit's presence with our friends and our strangers, our people on the earth. Lord, give us a wisdom. Make us one in spirit. Make us one in this church. Make us one in this community so we can accomplish the mission and vision you've given to us. Thank you, God, for being who you are and calling us to be your sons and daughters in this place. Thank you in Christ's name.